you can listen to it. When you know who you are, you won't live like who you were. Amen? Praise God. I'm still in the process of learning it. Amen. So today I want to talk about multiplication, but before we start, praise God. This isn't a merry, merry, ho, ho, happy, happy, okay? 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, I talked like a child, all that stuff. But when I grew up, I became a mature person. It's talking about our life in Christ. And sometimes, you know, you just have to talk about these not so merry, merry, ho-hos because I want you to grow up. How many of you want your 30-year-old kids sitting there at your house in a diaper and you just have to drive them all over? Heck no. You want them to grow up. What I used to tell my kids, I want you to grow up and leave me. All right? Live your own life. But don't forget to take me out for dinner, okay? So this is a message that is truly out of love. So I'm going to say many times, keep smiling, but let's pray first. Father God, I thank you for each one that you have brought here this morning and those that are tuned in online. I thank you, Holy Spirit, you would open their eyes, open their minds, open their understanding to hear your love so that we may grow up and multiply. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about multiplying. How many of you like multiplying? Multiplying is a concept in the Bible. I didn't invent it. It's found in the Bible. How about Genesis chapter 1, right? Verse 28, God's speaking to his people, and he says this as a command. He's going, hey, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so he's talking about filling the earth full of kids, and he's talking about people who would honor the one true God. Okay, it's about multiplying, all right? So multiplying is a principle all throughout the Bible. It's a principle that God wants us to be fruitful in our marriage. God wants us to be fruitful in our businesses. God wants to be fruitful parents, okay? It's a concept in the Bible. And he wants us to be fruitful and multiply everything that he entrusts into our hands. He wants us to surrender it so he can bless it, so he can multiply it. Everybody say multiply. Multiply. All right. Somebody keep score how many times I say that today. You know, you go stitch, stitch, and then five, and then, okay? So we're going to say that a lot, okay? So God wants to take everything that he gives us so that he can bless it and he can multiply it. That's really in essence where we're going today, but I have a whole lot to say. Now, if you're like me, the beginning of every year I go a prayer like this. God, I thank you and that you would multiply my savings account. Anybody pray that? God, just multiply my finances, my savings account. I do that every year. And then I do this one. God, multiply our church's influence on this county. God, multiply the amount of disciples that are just living big and passionate for you at our church. I pray for you all the time. Not just the first of the year, all righty? And I pray prayers like that we'd be fruitful and multiply. Everybody say multiply. All right. But sometimes I get stuck in my prayers like that because the process of multiplying sometimes just isn't fun. Just not fun. So this, as I said, this is not a ho-ho, merry-merry, but it's because I love you and God loves you, all righty? And so I want to look at how we can multiply how we live our life, how we can multiply how we live our life for God, how we can multiply how we live for the kingdom of God, how we can multiply, okay? And I want to start with a story. There's actually a couple of them, two of them in the Bible. And if you've been in my children's church downstairs, you'll laugh. He goes, yeah, Pastor D used to act crazy downstairs. But most of you know this. It's about the feeding. It's really the multiplying miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. Anybody know that story in the Bible? Sure you do. Okay, if not, go downstairs. They'll let you sit in. But so we're going to talk about the miracle of multiplying. And so there's two stories. They're really the same plot, even though they take place at two different places with two different groups of people, okay? The first one's the feeding of the 5,000. It takes place at the Sea of Galilee, and it starts, you remember this little boy who had five loaves and two fishes, right? And he brings this to Jesus, and Jesus multiplies it. How many of you know the story, right? The second story that is the same, technically, but it happens with 4,000 people at a different place, with a different people. But Jesus goes and does that thing again where he multiplies this absolute miracle, right? All righty. So I'm reading over these two stories, and I'm just kind of chewing on them, and I'm flipping back and forth, and I'm pulling down all sorts of translations looking at it. And I realize there's three things that are present in each of these miracles. Three things that are present in each of these miracles, all right? And I believe that if you can see the three things that were present in the miracle that Jesus did, and you can have those three things present in your life, you'll have a multiplying, miraculous life. Yeah, I said that. So, if you're taking notes, I would write these down. If you're not taking notes, you ought to write these down, okay? And if you need a yellow card, raise your hand for taking notes. They'll give it to you. Praise the Lord, all right? So here's the three things that Jesus did. Jesus took the bread. That's not the first one. But he took the bread. Watch this. He broke the bread. He broke the bread. He blessed the bread. Then he multiplied the bread. Okay? So he breaks it. He blesses it. He multiplies it. And I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but this is me all the time. I love to see multiplying, right? I love to see the end results of this multiplying miracle, okay? But, you know, but the problem is sometimes we don't look under a hood, right? Have you ever bought a car that you thought was just pretty and beautiful and you found out you had a lemon because you didn't lift up the hood? All right, to look underneath there. All right, so today I want us to look under the hood and see about these three things he does for this miraculous miracle that I believe if we understand this in our life, we can have a multiplying in our life the way we live it, okay? So before I jump into point one, I just want to talk about something I thought was a little interesting here. When I read one of the accounts, okay, that Jesus did, before he performed this miraculous miracle of feeding 5,000 people, all right, he has this really huge crowd, like thousands, right? And back then, I don't know what their story was. Yes, I do, really. But they didn't count women. So it may say there were 5,000 people there, but they didn't count women and children. And a lot of the Bible historians will say there's probably 15 to 20,000 people. Babies there too. How about that? That are present where this miracle's going on. 15 to 20,000 people. So they come from all over the region because they want to hear this man because he's changed their life, right? He has raised people from the dead. He has opened blind eyes. He's doing these miracles. He's doing these outrageous things where diseases that people had for 38 years are gone, all right? So they come, and it's sort of like what it was like pre-COVID. Like if you wanted to go hear your favorite group, Bethel or Hillsong, you would do anything to get there, all right? Because I did. I waited on a line 2 hours before so I could go hear this concert, right? Or maybe for your favorite preacher, all righty? So that what was going on was 10 times more, 10 times more. And so these people are there for like 3 days. 3 days just listening to Jesus. He's talking. He is telling sermons that nobody had ever heard before, or you either. It's like first time, hot off the press. This is Jesus preaching and talking and healing people for 3 days, okay? And guess what happens after about 3 days? Some of us, after about 3 hours, what happened? I got hungry. Okay, they got hungry, okay? So the conference is kind of wrapping up, and Jesus looks out to the crowd, and he's the Bible says he has great compassion. And he turns, and he says, you know, boys, we need to feed these people, all right? What do we say, 15 to 20,000? And he goes, we need to feed these people. So who does he enlist? The disciples, right? Come on, my boys. He grabs the boys, and he says, hey, listen. I want to do this multiplying miracle, okay? And this one of the 4,000, the 5,000, he says something very interesting first, okay? First he says, I want to do this miraculous miracle, but first I want you to get them into small groups. I'm going to do a plug for grow groups. You ready? How many have ever been to a grow group? All right, how many are in one right now? Okay, cool. Okay. God does, and I've seen God do huge, just crazy, awesome, fun things in the masses, in large groups, and even on a Sunday morning, right? I've seen that. How many have seen God just do great things in these big groups, okay? But if 2020 has taught us anything, you might not be able to meet in the masses. Yeah? Yeah, we had shutdown for a while. California, I don't even want to talk about them, okay? Just keep moving, keep moving. All right? Now, but honestly, I think it's okay. Okay? I think it's okay because I think it's kind of pointing to us to the early church, the book of Acts. After Jesus died and rose from again, we go into the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, they would meet at the temple in huge crowds. Thousands, they said, would be at the temple, worshiping God and doing all sorts of things. But they had the secret ingredient. Not only did they meet in the huge, massive crowds, guess what they did afterwards? They went house to house in small groups. In small groups, okay? Andy Stanley that says, rows are good, but circles are better. I like that, okay? Big rows, good. Circles are better, okay? We just wrapped up the marriage group, right? One more? I thought it was like, okay, one more. What's the title of the book? The Marriage Group? Something like that. It's by John and Lisa Bevere. It's about marriages, okay? And there's been this group, and I have heard also, first off, occasionally I'm still at church at like 7 o'clock at night, and I just hear them cutting up and laughing. But listen, this group and probably every group, they go in that day and they share their lows and their highs, and nobody's judging anything. And they have had a good time growing in the circle. Okay, growing in the circle. And, you know, probably some of them, they started their grow group, especially this marriage one, they didn't know them from Tom, Dick, or Harry. They didn't know anything. We even have a couple that does not attend YCF, okay? And some of y'all sit on this side, and the person that came was on that side, all right? And it's just been phenomenal what's going on in that group because I've been hearing all the great reports, okay? Now, what happens is God starts changing your heart. And then you look at these people and you go, how could I not have them in my life for this long? This has been amazing. All right? So that's my plug for grow groups. Because the greatest growth that you will have personally probably ain't happening on a Sunday morning. The greatest growth that you will have personally is in the small group. Amen? All right? Because you get to ask questions and you get to pray for one another, and it's just been really good. Praise God. All right, so let's talk about three things that Jesus did when he took the bread. Three things, all right? So we said the first one is he broke it. If you're taking notes, write down he broke it. He took the bread and he broke it. He took the bread and he broke it. Notice the word he. He took the bread and broke it. Now, again, honestly, I just love multiplication. But, you know, I don't like this process of being growing up and being mature. And I like that he blesses it. But sometimes I don't like when he does this thing in my life. Now, please hear me correctly. Some of you are going to go, just keep your head in the right place, where he breaks things. There's a brokenness. And it's when I say here and he just helps me chisel this stuff off. So he blesses our brokenness. Write that down. He blesses our brokenness, okay? Now, I can remember when Jack and I first started out pastoring and we would pray, God, grow this church. God, just we want to be bigger. Man, God, come on, just bring in the hundreds and thousands. God, you know, we pray this prayer all a lot of time, okay? Now, if a pastor ever tells you they never prayed that prayer, are they a lion? We all pray that prayer. Liar, liar, liar. We all do that. Okay, why? Because when you pour your heart into something, you want it to grow. You want it to be successful. We want it to multiply, right? So we're praying, God, God. And I'm kind of glad God didn't answer those prayers right off the bat. Because, be honest, maturity-wise, I don't think we could have handled it, all right? Excellent-wise, we were just being silly. I'm telling you what, we were just like, whoa, we weren't really ready. I personally wasn't ready. So multiplications, a lot of times, is going to be a, not bam, okay? It's going to be a growth, all right? And, you know, sometimes we're praying for marriage. God, I want to get married now. And God's going, are you kidding? I love that spouse so much. Are you kidding? You need to get a job, buddy, first, and keep it, right? Yeah. So sometimes we're praying these prayers, and he's like, no, not yet. Sometimes we're praying, God, give me a business. God, I want to have my own business. God, my boss is an idiot. I'd do better. God, give me a business. And you know what God's saying a lot of times? Listen to this. First, you need to be a good employee. Like, show up on time. Oh, God forbid, early, right? And not be, you know, cheating on your phone all the whole time. And God's saying, first, I want you to be good with somebody else's stuff before I'm going to give you stuff. Amen. Amen. So I would pray, God, grow our church. God, grow our church. But, you know, I felt like God was saying, before he could do that, there are some things he had to break off in my life. All right. And I may look good today. There's a lot of makeup on and stuff like that. But I want to tell you, prior you peel all this stuff off, sometimes there's things God's got to do in your heart, all right? So if you're taking notes, write this down. Sometimes subtraction comes before multiplication. Sometimes subtraction comes before multiplication. Maybe God needs to do some change in you before he can multiply over here. All right, God, I want this. God, I want. So sometimes subtraction really comes before multiplication. And I'm like, gosh, how many of you like that now? But sometimes there's a subtracting where there's a breaking off before this multiplication, all right? How many of you know that Jesus is, God's called the gardener in the Bible. And you know what a good gardener does? Prunes. One time we had this tree and it was getting out of control, so we had this professional come in and prune it back. It looked so ugly afterwards. It did. Anybody? And I don't know a whole lot about fruit trees, but you got to prune them all the time, right? And it was this cutting away things. It looked like it was backwards progress because it was this ugly little stubby thing, okay? So pruning is never fun. Pruning is never pretty. Pruning just looks pretty bad. So sometimes there's pruning in our life so he can get us to multiply. Do you know what happened the very next year after we pruned this tree? It went berserko. It just was full and beautifully and nicely shaped. It was just great, all right? So sometimes the pruning, less is best, all right? Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 2. This is Jesus talking about his Father, okay? This is Jesus talking about his Father. John 15, 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, do your scissor thing, so that it will be even more fruitful, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people after they've decided to follow Jesus, and they'll tell me the story. Hey, listen, this is them talking. You know, before when I was a heathen, before when I didn't even, you know, want to do anything with God, before I was living like that, you know, life wasn't too bad. It was pretty good. And then I gave my life to Jesus, and it felt like I had all these problems. And you know what I tell them? Congratulations! That's awesome. You know why? Because maybe you're feeling, and I'm going to use that word, and unless you hear it right, the brokenness coming off, okay, or the pruning. And it's really positive proof that it's going on in your life so that he can multiply you, okay? Get off the dead stuff, all righty? So, but I have to say this. God doesn't always cause those bad things. Matter of fact, God is good. He doesn't cause bad things to happen. But what is it? Romans, I wrote it down, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So maybe you've got some stuff happening along. But listen, if you love God and you walk with him and you let him just prune some things off, he will just multiply in your life and good things will grow. Amen? Amen. So sometimes less is best, okay? So this is my encouragement for 2021. Ready? Would you commit to embracing to brokenness, letting him prune you? Now, personally, I don't want to raise my hand, but I just gave you the word of God, all right? So could you just say, God, I'm gonna commit. I'm going to let this happen in my life, okay? Because less is more. And you know, when less is more, this is what your prayer is. This is what my prayer is. Ready? God, less of me and more of. Okay, God, decrease me and more of. God, how about less of my pride, less of my selfish ambitions, less of my insecurities and more of. Amen. Okay, so turn over to Psalm 51. God blesses brokenness. Let me prove it to you. Psalm 51, verse 17. God blesses brokenness. Now, we don't like that, but he will bless it. Listen to Psalm 51, verse 17. Ready? The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, oh God. Chew on that one before you go to bed. It's a goodie. But I want to talk about this word David uses, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Listen, guys, the world we're living in, man, they don't use that word, that term, oh, I'm going to sacrifice. No way. We are living in a culture that doesn't use that word, doesn't live that at all right? And you know what I've seen in the 2020 mindset? Let's just call it that, the mindset. Now, listen, we had no choice in a bunch of stuff that happened in 2020 and still a little bit, all right? Okay, we had to go through this quarantine. But I have a but after that, but I'm not going to talk about that one right now. And I will say there were some good things that happened, all right? I cleaned closets. I painted every bathroom, all right? How about you spent more time with your family? How about you slowed down a little bit? How about you cleaned your garage? And how about, turn around, look at Chad back there. Chad put us online. He records us, all right? He walked in here 2 weeks before this whole shutdown. And then 2 weeks into it, he goes, hey, you know what I used to do? And I'm like, no. Da-na-na-na. So those are good things, okay? Those are good things that have happened, right? But I think there's some things left behind in 2020. I think there's some things that we just leave behind, okay? Because there's this mindset. Let me give you some answers that will make you laugh, maybe a little bit. The theaters, the movie theaters, all right? Okay, why would I go to a movie theater and pay $50 for popcorn, tickets, and Milk Duds and a Coke when I can stay home and stream it on any gadget you got, if you show me how to do it, okay? I always call my son-in-law, how do you do that again, all right? Why would you want to be around a bunch of people breathing hot air over you when you can just stay home? It's kind of a mindset going on there, all right? Okay, restaurants, all right? Why would I go to a restaurant and wait online and be around people that are breathing hot air on my food? Why? When I can hit the DoorDash app and it'll be there in what? What do they say? 20 minutes. They have a funny time frame, okay? All right. So, guys, I think the mindset is we've removed sacrifice out of our lives, out of our vocabulary, okay? Now, in our culture, I know 2020 didn't create that. But I tell you what, it intensified it. Right? It just made it bigger. That was already this mindset, all right? And now, if you're writing notes, you're not going to like the next two. Ready? We love connection without commitment. Write that down. We love connection, but without commitment, okay? And what's going on is there's very little sacrifice. That's what sacrifice. There's very little sacrifice going on with people, all right, and the church, all righty? Okay, who knows what pornography is? Raise your hand. That probably looked bad. Raise your hand, okay? Okay, listen. Definition of pornography, a connection without commitment. Bam! Come on, a connection without commitment. And they got some other sleazy things going on that do that too, okay? Now, the more we live a sacrifice free life, the more we live where the less we're going to multiply, right? The more we live like that, where there's no sacrifice in our life, the more we're not going to multiply. There is an epidemic with young men, ages teens through 20s, like you cannot believe, and they are addicted to pornography. They are addicted to pornography, okay? And what is porn? A connection without a commitment, all right? And they are more committed to their computers than their friends or their wife. Sad, okay? And let's throw this one. They're not able to procreate that way. No way, Jose, all right? So here's my concern as Pastor D. Here's my concern as a fellow Christian, and you should be too, okay? It's one thing to have this happening in the world. Non-believers. It's one thing. Okay, I get it. You're non-believers. What can I say? All right? But I'm afraid it's starting to seep into the church. I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm afraid that it is, better yet, it is overtaking the church. We are the church. All righty? Okay, so this is what's going on. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to have my relationship with him. I'm going to have a relationship with the church, but I'm going to come to him, but I don't want to have a commitment. I think I'm smiling because you aren't, right? I don't want to have a commitment, all righty? And here's the problem, all righty? Anything that comes with value comes at a great cost. Write that one down. Anything that comes with value, anything that you value, I mean really value, it came with a great cost. God has called you, and it was come, you know, I just love, some people go, I just love, okay, let's do this one. Billy Graham, oh man, I wish I could be with like Billy Graham. Okay, well one, he's in heaven, so you're glad you're here. But listen, it came at a great cost. You want to do anything great, it will come at a great cost. All righty? It does. Okay, y'all smiling. So, if you're taking notes, write this down. Sacrifice is the secret to multiplying. Sacrifice. That's what we've been talking about, right? The little boy with the five fishes and the two loaves, there was a sacrifice, right? He gave Jesus his five loaves and his two fishes, and Jesus fed the 5,000, or really 15 to 20,000, right? There was a sacrifice. He could have said, no, my mama made me my lunch. I'm not sharing it. Okay? There was a sacrifice. There was a sacrifice to get the multiplying, all righty? So, sacrifice is the secret to multiplication, all right? And if we're living in a culture, I'm telling you, it's all over, that's trying to remove sacrifice and commitment, we're in trouble, right? We're in trouble. Gee whiz, it's bad, okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit about how we build sacrifice back into our life, okay? How we build it back into our lives so that we can live a multiplied life. So let's talk about how to, so God can bless us and multiply. Ready? David knew this. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 24. David did something that God didn't like. David did something that really displeased God. But listen to what David does. He wants to go build, now they did this back then, build an offer to sacrifice to God and to repent. So he knew he blew it, he knew he displeased God, and he's got a change in his heart, so he's going to go build this altar and sacrifice and repent and worship God, all righty? But the problem is he's got to buy some land. You just don't throw a pile of bricks or rocks on somebody else's property. I will call you. You try doing that at my property. I'm going to call you up. So he knew he had to go buy some property. And he had this friend that heard that David was looking for some property to have a sacrifice, to do a sacrifice. And he runs up to David. He goes, David, I'm your boy. I got some land. You can have this. And David says, no, I want to buy this property. I want to buy this so I can build an altar, so I can sacrifice. Okay? Are you over at 2 Samuel 24:24? I'm not. Hold on a minute. Okay. Now, David, when the guy said, hey, I'll just give you the land, he could have said, great, I don't have to spend money there. I can just keep it. We can go buy whatever, whatever. But listen to what David says. But David answered, no, I have to pay you what they're worth. I can't offer the Lord my God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. That is really good. All right, that is really good. Okay. The problem is we live in a day where the bar is low. Matter of fact, people lower the bar, all right? And I'm talking about Christians, but here's the good problem. Jesus has already set the bar. He's already set the standard, hasn't he? Like this one. If you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross, right? Pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and deny yourself daily. I think the bar's up here. It's not down here. No commitment, right? He's raised it, okay? Now, the problem that we have is when you see that word cross, I'm thinking jewelry. When he said that, they were thinking death. They knew they had to, well, they also understand the physical. They were nailing people and they were dying. But they understood that this is what it was going to cost them to be a disciple. I was going to die to doing no commitment things with the Lord, all righty? So my prayer constantly, Pastor Sherry's prayer, the leader's prayer, is something that goes like this, God, help us to lead you to a sacrifice discipled, multiplied life. We pray that all the time. AKA, Father, help us to lead them to be passionate for the Lord Jesus. Help them, Father, that you are first in your life, that they would have a fire again in their life to live before you and to multiply and to shine before you. Pray that all the time. Join me every Thursday at noontime. You're gonna like, there she goes again, just praying that prayer, okay? Praise God. Because discipleship without sacrifice ain't discipleship, okay? It's just kind of going, all righty? Now, I know this is a merry, merry, ho, 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 but listen to this. So David had another moment, and he is a cool thing. He's coming back to his hometown. He's coming back, well, really, the city that he's king in now. He is now king. He's coming back to Jerusalem, and he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is because you're just a newbie, that's okay. A long time ago, I didn't know what it was. But it was a box that God instructed them how to build. And inside the box was what? The presence of God. So David is coming back to Jerusalem with the presence of God. Do you think they're a little excited? They're really excited, okay? It's a big thing. So they're coming back. He's coming back with his armies and with all these people, and they're coming into Jerusalem with the box, the ark, with the presence of God, okay? And David leads an 8-mile procession. He's the head guy, all right? And this procession was like a victory. It's better than, what's the parade they have after you win the Super Bowl, right? They have this big parade. This is like 20 times better because it's not the Super Bowl team. Yeah, they have a big parade when you go back into your city. Okay. Some of you are like, I didn't know that. But this is better because it had been years, hundreds of years, since the presence of God was in Jerusalem, Israel, where it's supposed to be, all right? So they're on this 8-mile, okay? And David says every 6 steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we are going to sacrifice to the Lord, all right? So I did a little calculating. Hey, Google, how do you do this, all right? 8 miles, listen to this, equals 14,000 steps. 8 miles, something like that, 14,000 steps. And you know how many times sacrifices that equals? So every 6 steps, they were going to sacrifice. You know how many times they did that? 2,347 times they would take 6 steps, stop, and sacrifice to the Lord. Okay. Now, I think it sounds kind of crazy extremes, but what if I'm a disciple, right? And I have decided to live a sacrifice life to the Lord, where I've let him prune off some things so I can grow some things. What if people are watching my life and they're judging me? They're criticizing me because they don't understand this life that I have laid down for the Lord and sacrifice. Well, guess what? That's what happened to David. He's marching in his 6 miles. Every 6 steps, he would bend, do whatever, and just sacrifice and worship God. And his wife, guess who did it? His wife, the woman that you gave me, Lord, is in the palace, looking out of the window and watching her husband do this. And not only did he sacrifice every 6 steps, he's like, woohoo, hallelujah, hallelujah, woohoo. Just crazy, crazy, unashamed worship. And the Bible says that he is just going at it, worshiping God and just praising him. That his hat falls off, and then his scarf falls off, and then his royal robe falls out, okay? And he's probably in his plain jammies or something like that, okay? And his wife is just mocking him, okay? Get rid of that woman, okay? It's just, yeah, okay, all righty. Because she didn't get it. She didn't understand the sacrifice. Now listen, if you could look into or hear the heart of David, the reason why he did this and the reason why he was unashamed to worship, unashamed to dance and look silly, okay, unashamed to be loud and just to go bananas for the Lord. The reason why, listen to this, he's probably thinking, but you don't know where I've come from. You have no idea where I've come from. You don't know what God has rescued me from. You don't know that I was in the pit and he rescued me out of the pit. You don't know that he found me in the pasture on the backside of nowhere where no one knew my name, but he did and he called me. You don't know why I'm doing this, all right? And you don't know that while I was called by God, my boss decided to kill me, so I had to run in the desert for years, but I honored him. You don't know what God's done in my life, right? So how could I come to him empty-handed? How could I not worship him? Like to say that's the rest of the story, but there's more. Hang in there. Okay. This is what I see every Sunday at YCF, that we would come in knowing what God has done for you. He sent his son when you are a screw up, a mess up, full of sin, dirty, ugly, and he washed you and he brought you to the high places. How could I not worship him? Come on. All right, now I know we all worship different. Look at Pastor Sherry. She does this thing like this. I'm like, you look weird. Okay? Okay? And I'm not a dancer because I'm just white. I have no rhythm. But I do the pogo stick. You'll watch me. Okay? All right? So I worship. Just worship. Just worship. Okay? Praise God. Shoo. How about every week? We come in ready to celebrate. And I don't care if you had the worst week ever. Jesus had the worst week for you. That he would die on a cross for you. So you'll have the best life ever. Eternal too, okay? So how, please, come on, let's come in. And just you know, sometimes I just have to start. Thank you, Lord. 40 years ago, you saw me, pathetic college kid, and then you went after me, and you went after me. You know, I just go replay. So I remember, God, you've brought me to this place. Amen? Okay. And I'm telling you, there's a bunch of you. That's why you come to YCF, because you know what God did. That's why you serve at YCF. You're like, you know, I ain't much, but, you know, I don't have much to give, but, you know what? I can be a greeter because I know what God's done for me. I can smile and say, hey, welcome, righty? All right? But I tell you what, I know that I come to God, whether it's in this house or my drive or my morning time, I never come empty-handed. I don't stay there. Okay? Amen. All right. Some of you might be, okay, I'm going to do this. Some of you, Beth, do you remember Larry? Okay, I can't do names because we record. There used to be a guy that used to come here. He didn't know what a Phillips head was. Screwdriver. Had no clue. But the boy could sing. Okay? He gave his gift. He gave us all. All right? Some of you, you may not be able to sing, but you love those computers. And see Lane? Wave your hand. Turn around. Look at Lane. God, turn around. That guy will put you to work, and you can love our computers. All right? And if you'd like to, we can do it. All righty? Phew. And maybe you don't like to be, maybe you like to be up front. You can come up here like Mark and I, and we make announcements, and sometimes I get the dates all muffed up. I'm like, I'm just so bad with numbers some days, okay? And that's okay. Just give what you got. Come on, give what you got. Give what you've got. Come into the house and say, God, you've done so much for me. How could I just sit there? Woo! All right. So before the next part, I want to give you some practical ways, just practical ways, okay, practical ways that you can sacrifice so he can bless and he can multiply. Now, this past year was a doozy. This past year was hard, just tough, okay? Pastor Sherry and I are part of the Rhema Ministers organization, and I would get emails or phone calls, pray for so-and-so, pray for so-and-so. And I got one right before Thanksgiving. I'm telling you, it was like a week before Thanksgiving. Pray for our dear Pastor Anthony. He and his wife started church in Toms River probably almost 40 years ago. And he ended up by getting COVID, and they said, pray for him. They're taking him, putting him on a respirator. And then I got the email 2 days later, he died. It just, it hurt. These are people I know, okay? And then on February 9th, I got an email again from the Rhema. They said, we ask that you would pray for Dr. Fred Price. How many of you know Dr. Fred Price? First message I heard at camp meeting for a long time ago. Faith is now. Now is faith. Faith is now. Now is faith. I heard this black man talk, and he was so powerful, and I'm like, what is this? I loved it. So on February 9th, we said, please pray for him. He's struggling with COVID. And on the 12th of February, he went home to be with Jesus. Okay. I was like, God, these are my big guys that I've just grown up with. This, you know. So I had a cry. I had a good thing. Okay, now, thank goodness no one from our congregation has passed away from COVID, okay? No one, all right? But I get phone calls from my pastors. We're part of the Northeast Regional, and we get together and we pray and whatnot like that. But they've had people that have been in their church who dearly love, they love, who love the church, who serve in the church, who are givers in the church. They have gotten COVID or the effects of COVID, and they've passed away. And this one pastor said, and he pastors a large church, he said, this past month, I did 4 funerals from people that have been in our church. Okay, so it's not been fun, right? All righty? And I know, and this is where y'all going to smile, I know that we have people, we call them our people, YCF, that would love to be here. Love to be here. But they are immune compromised. That means they got some bad stuff going on in their body. And they're in faith, and they're doing all that they can, all right? And they're working with doctors. But guess what? They can't come. So we've got about a bunch, okay? And I also know some people that they're taking care of their elderly parents, okay? And they can't come right now because of this COVID thing, all righty? And I get all of that. I get why they can't come, all right? And I want you to hear this before I say what I'm going to say, okay? Because it's been a crazy year, alrighty? But here's what I want to do. I want to talk about two different groups. The first group I want to talk about, people that are at home, okay? And they can't come because of physical, immune compromised, or parents. They can't come. They'd be here. And listen, they're watching online. I know they are. I get to talk to them or they'll call me up, okay? But this is for them that are watching online that can't come, this is kind of a litmus test, okay? That are you living a life as a disciple of Jesus? All right, but they're going, but I can't. No, no, no. So here's my question, so I want to ask you. How am I sacrificing, we just talked about what a sacrifice life is, for the kingdom of God, all right? A sacrifice, we just said, is a part of God's kingdom. Sacrifice is key to every person who calls himself a believer. Sacrifice is something we build into our life. Sacrifice, all right? So and this is a question you should ask. You should write these down if you're listening online because you can't come. How am I sacrificing for God's kingdom? Second one, am I fulfilling God's mandate for community? There's a biblical community that's mandated by God, right? We are not islands. There's a biblical plan God has for us to be in a community, and that's a good question to answer. And I've heard more people go, I can't do one more Zoom. Are you kidding me, Pastor D? I get it. Some of you are in front of a computer all day long, Zooming because of COVID. Some of you at school, that's what's going on, all right? And I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it, okay? And some of you, we started out Zooming for grow groups, right in the very beginning. And some still have Zoom available if you let them know, all right? But I get it. And, you know, the crazy thing is, a year ago, we thought this would last 2 weeks. Oh, it'll be over in 2 weeks. And then I was like, okay, we're in week three. Well, probably at the end of 3 months, we'll be over. We'll be done with this. We'll be okay. We'll be back where we want to, okay? All right? And here we are a year later. It's coming up a year later, all righty? So maybe the vaccine will take care of it in 6 months. Maybe, okay? Or, but what if this for the next 2 years or 3 years? I know this is a happy sermon, right? Okay? So here's my concern. If you cannot come here because of physical things and family things, okay, is watching online your only teaspoon of sugar, okay? Because I'm telling you what, you'll die on the vine. You got to have more. And you have to be committed to gather. And I hate Zoom. I'm like, I usually mostly do duo with my kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't brushed my hair, and I look terrible, so I won't answer, and I'll text them, call me back in 5 minutes. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, I got to get dressed, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're going to know I didn't do anything all day, all right? I hate this Zoom duo thing, all right? But you have to be committed, even in these tough times, all right? Here's another question to ask you all that are staying at home for this. Am I serving others? All right? So physically, you probably can't. That's why you're staying home. But how about you reach out to your department heads or your leaders and say, how can I help you? Can I help maybe make some phone calls for you? All right? Because listen, maybe we've got some widows, maybe we've got some shut-ins, and they are lonely. Because number one, they don't know how to do the duo thing. Okay, took me a while to learn all those buttons there, okay? And maybe they're lonely, and maybe you can call them up. I have this person, and they don't put their return address on it, and they don't sign it. But just about every day now, for the last month, they write me this encouraging letter of scriptures. I don't know who they are. First, I had an attitude, okay, occasionally. First, I had to, you don't put your name on it, I'm not going to read it. I threw it out, okay? I did about three like that. Because if you don't have the blank, blank to put your name on it, I'm not going to do anything with it. And then the Lord just, you know? And I started reading them. They're uplifting. So how about you call and you say, hey, Pastor D, do you know somebody that needs an uplifting, encouraging scriptures? I'll tell you, all righty? How about you take them a meal? We just recently had, no names mentioned. Anyway, a gentleman have a problem in his body, had some strokes, and he's finally home, and his wife's working from home doing the Zoom thing, and she said, and I call her up and pray with her and stuff. She, how can I help you? She said, could you just take some meals over? Because I'm trying to let the physical therapist in. I'm trying to do my work. So we did. We called a bunch of you up and said you could take a meal, all right? So how about you do that? Amen. And if some of you are great bakers and it makes Jesus come in the spot, go make some things and give it away. Praise the Lord, all right? So really the question is, how can you serve people, even if you're at home? So you used to have these two young ladies, because I was going to say old, but I think I'm in their category. Two young ladies that used to come to church. And one of them was a beautiful black lady, and the other one is a beautiful white lady, and they became friends at YCF for like 30 years. And they got to the place where my sweet little old lady couldn't come to church. She had some things going on with her body. But they would call every day and pray together. They did that for years. Pray every day, real short, every day. So you may not physically be able to do something, but I'm telling you, there's something you can do. And so you can ask the Lord, you can ask department heads, and you can ask me. Amen. All right. Number four, am I giving? Number four of all of you that are saying, am I giving? So often the culture in the American church is we just tip God, right? We just tip him, all righty? And or else we just throw things, or else we're not consistent, okay? So I'm going to ask, are you giving, all righty? But I want to tell you a good report. First 2 weeks when we had shutdown, I think $100 came in. Okay, because we only had about five people that gave online. There was more than $5. Okay, and I was like, oh, man, the electric bill's coming. Oh, my goodness, okay? And then, as weeks went by, all of you that only write checks ventured into the scary world of online. Okay? And I want to tell you, 2020, we didn't come behind in any good thing. Matter of fact, we actually got ahead. It was just beautiful. To God be all the glory. But in the first 2 weeks, I'm like, whoa, okay? All because y'all were generous. You were generous, okay? But, so I just want to say this. So ease your conscience. Okay, if you give more, I don't get more. I am on a set salary. Pastor Sherry is, and we have another staff member part-time here. Okay, so I don't want to know. The only time that I will ask is not for a number. It's because I want to see if you're faithful so I can move you to a greater position. Because these things are tied together. So I have some girls that count money, and I'll say, hey, does so-and-so, are they faithful at giving? All right, because I want to walk in the lobby and not look at your face and see a number. Ooh, okay? All right, so I don't want to know, all righty? But listen, here you go. It's between you and God. Amen. So everybody say, it's between me and God. Praise the Lord. I just want to love you and pastor you and disciple you and do all these fun sermons like today. Amen. All right. So here's the thing. When you look at your life, do you see a life that's sacrificed to the Lord? When you look at your life, do you see patterns of giving? When you look at your life, not me, when it comes to giving at church, do you see all that? Okay? It's you, between you and God. Okay? Now, I want to talk to a third group, all right? My second group, rather. These are all the people that do not have immune compromise systems going on. They're healthy. Okay? They're healthy. But they're not attending church. Okay, they're healthy, but they're not attending church. Alrighty, so here's my question to them: are you holding do you have the same standard in every area of your life? Pull your toes in. You're gonna get stamped on. Ready? Do you have the same standard in every area of your life? Because you know what? I see your post on Facebook. And you went out to eat, you know, you'll risk going to whatever that restaurant is that has those buttery biscuits with the cinnamon in it. You said it, all right? But you won't risk coming to the house of God, right? You have figured out, because I saw your pictures on how to go to Disneyland, how to risk to go on vacation. And a few other places, okay? And you won't risk to come to the house of God. Okay? So I wonder if you have the same desire, the same drive when it comes to the house of God. So they're all watching online and they're all smiling at me, okay? Listen, in foreign countries today, if they find out you're a Christian, you're in jail and sometimes you're put to death. Many times, okay? It's still going on, okay? So how about we have this same urgency to come to the house of God? Same standard, all right? Pastor Sherry nailed me about that in the middle of this whole thing. Man, it was fun, all righty? All right, so this is for everybody that's here this morning. By the way, I want you to commit that you will love me regardless. It's in the Bible. Does everybody say, I will love you, Pastor D, no matter what you say, okay? Because I'm loving you. Praise the Lord. No. Okay. What if the most that God would ask you is to wear a mask in the building? Now, I am not mask shaming people, okay? Right now, because right now we're socially distanced. And you can take your mask off. It's so great once you finally get in here. You know, whoopee. That's right, okay? This past, I don't know, it was 4 months or 6 months ago, we have some people here that got the cancer diagnosis, okay? And they're going through treatments, and they would love to be here. They would love to be here. And I know they're watching online because they'll do the bing thing and the hearts and all that stuff, okay? All right, and Michelle tells me. Okay. But I've had a couple of them come back and say, hey, Pastor D, I came back. But there were so many people here that wouldn't wear their mask. Didn't wear their mask, okay? And it made me uncomfortable. Now, you can cop an attitude right now and say, well, there's this little bunch of weenies, and who cares? No, don't do that. So this is people that love our church, that are our family, that came back and said, I am not comfortable because of what's going on in their body. And they said, a lot of people got around me, and they didn't have their masks on, and I just didn't feel comfortable because I'm kind of concerned for my life because it could be if something came on me, all righty? So, now I want to say this. This is not about the science of masks. Because if one more person sends me an email, a thingamajigger to read, okay, just don't, all right? I have a daughter who does it. She's a nurse. She sends me all this stuff, all right? So this is not about the science of masks, whether the science says that they are working or they cause more problems. This is not about this. What if God would ask you to love people? Just put your mask on, to walk in and sit down. What if? That's all I'm going to say. So I just want you, just so that they could come here and worship God and serve here. Just so some of our people could do that. I think we can do that, okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know why I say all of this? Because I would rather have an awkward moment today than the day you die and stand before the Lord and face to face with Jesus and you got an awkward conversation going on. Let's take care of it now, okay? Because it's about love. It's just about loving people, all right? Praise God. Amen. Okay. Jesus took the bread, number one, and he broke it. Number two, he blessed it. We're on to point two. Ready? He blessed it and he blessed it, okay? Now, this is a crazy thing. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I just looked at the clock. Jeez. Part two next week. Okay, part two next week. First, I have to say, I hate being shamed. Don't do that to me. I don't like it. I know right away when it feels like that. And I would never do that to you or anybody. But sometimes I'm stupid and I say something, but it wasn't to shame you. I was just stupid and I need you to come up and say, Pastor D, that really hurt my feelings. I didn't know that, but come up and talk to me. But my purpose in this message is so that you would live a sacrifice life, to really be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ so he can multiply in your life. And you know, it's not just the money, and I'll get to that. It's about your multiplying your life so that there's more people that will see your light and more people that you can tell about the light and that God loves them. He's always loved them. There's nothing that'll keep them farther than them. This is about you sacrificing so we can do big for the kingdom of God. Amen. Everybody say, I love you, Pastor D. Okay, stand up. Father God, I thank you. I'm going to do some ho-hos. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed going in, and we are blessed going out. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus, and we let our light shine, and we multiply everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you would like prayer for anything, or you have a beef with me, come up and talk to me, all right? Because I love you, all right? You are dismissed. Praise God. Get ready for part 2. Amen.